So, where do I start? So, this project is, like, this is one work out of, like, a larger series of work I've been producing. I guess it started in around 2013, when I was just playing a video game called Grand Theft Auto 5. And I'd finished a game, and it's one of these games which is called, like, an open world game, which means that you don't have to follow the game's narrative, but you can go off and do whatever you want within the game. And every player in the game gets a virtual smartphone that has a camera on it. And I think it was after about 2 years of playing the game, I was driving around doing nothing one day, and I discovered that there was these homeless people that live in the game underneath a bridge. And I hadn't noticed them before because they're not part of the narrative, they're just kind of there as a kind of ambient So the homeless people in the game aren't part of the game's narrative, they're just there as a kind of ambient reality, like trees or... I suppose like trees or plants or, you know, telephone poles, that kind of thing. And I got out of my car and I approached them and I started taking photographs of them with my virtual smartphone. And every time I went back into the game, I started doing more of this, so I kind of left the part of the game where I was killing people and stealing cars and that kind of stuff, and I became, a virtual street photographer, in a way. And I didn't initially start it as an art project, but after about 800 photographs, I kind of thought, oh, maybe there's a body of work here, and I kind of began to look at all of the images on my computer and kind of figure out what I wanted to do with them. And I started producing, I put it together in a package as this project called Down and Out in Los Santos. So Los Santos is the name of the city in the video game. And it's just, the street photography that the photographs are all specializing in, looking at poverty and representations of homelessness within the video game. And in a weird sort of way, this kind of, got picked up in the photography world more than the contemporary art world for a couple of years. And I've done exhibitions where there's moving image work and straightforward printed photography work hanging on a wall. I've done some installation work before, but this work I developed where it's not necessarily a photography-based project, because what I've produced is that I'm using the content from my project, which is 1,500 photographs, and I have put it into a custom-built application which has a machine learning algorithm that looks at the images and it tries to identify what it's seeing. So the installation we're seeing culminated in printing out over 10,000 of the photographs in 10 centimeter by 15 centimeter kind of domestic family photography size. And these are used as, a stage to present a two-screen video. And on one screen is a slideshow of the 1,500 images, which are printed multiple times on the ground. And then projected on the wall, we have the machine learning algorithm presenting words from a set kind of vocabulary that I found online and tries to identify what we're looking at. And quite often the machine learning algorithm is incorrect, which is something I'm quite interested in. But you can almost, a lot of the time, you can see why it might think that. And it kind of maybe highlights some of the biases in terms of databases. So in some of the descriptions that we see, we might kind of it might reference the photograph, the person's pose, what they're doing might look like. You know, it might be raining or something like that, and someone running through the rain, and then the word might be umbrella, even though there's no umbrella there. But the machine learning algorithms have all been trained on data sets where they're not actually kind of intelligently knowing what's in the image. So they're able to look at the image, but they're not able to really tell what's going on because they don't have context or real human intelligence, I think.
Okay.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Thank you.
Any question?
And who is the designer of the game?
So the designer of the game is a company called Rockstar. They're a British company. And I think this particular game, I think they've made about 10 versions of this series.
Mm-hmm.
This one's called Grand Theft Auto 5, but I think this is one of the most financially successful games in history. So the game itself cost about $250 million to make, but they sold, I think, $1 billion in the first 3 days of its release. So it's one of these hugely popular games. It's like lots of people still play it online together.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's quite an iconic piece of software in terms of an example of these open world games where the players can decide not to participate in the game's narrative and go off and do their own thing. So I've made films in video games. I've made more traditional photography work, so like cyanotypes I've produced before by extracting plants from video games and I expose them through real sunlight in kind of 19th century photographic process. I've done feature films and documentaries and all these kind of things. So like for the last couple of years I've been really interested in this idea of you know, where is the artistic autonomy in these kind of prescribed software applications where, you know, we're kind of led or coerced to do particular things within software of any sort, and even Photoshop, kind of, I suppose, is oppressive in a way in terms of creativity. And trying to find, you know, where is that point where I can autonomously produce work within a virtual reality environment is quite interesting for me. So I've been, last couple of years, I've been working on these.
And is there any special reason that you choose this game?
Well, I guess I was just playing it as a game fan, and the reality is so expansive, and just it's the detail in it is incredible. I guess it made it easy for me to produce these as well. But I am, I suppose, very interested in the kind of tragedy that kind of lies within this, where, you know, in order to kind of create a simulated replica of our own world, that we have to include this kind of material as well. There's something like about the end of capitalism here almost, where we kind of think that this world wouldn't be believable unless there was people suffering and people being oppressed and, I suppose, subjugated in some sort of way.